The question is, who does God use? Mary was chosen by God. And I think as we look at the scriptures this morning, we can see why she was chosen and why she was able to be used of the Lord. And if we apply that to ourselves, we can understand too that even though Mary was very special in being chosen to bear the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, God has other things that you and I can do and that are important to His work and His will in our lives and in His work here on this earth. And so what does it mean to be chosen? Let's read Luke chapter 2, and we'll read the first few verses of that. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea to the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone from heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and which the Lord hath made known to us. And they made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at the things which were told by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things which they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for each one who's here this morning. We pray now, dear Lord, that maybe we could be able to put out the things of the world and so many things that's going on around us and concentrate, dear Lord, upon this important truth of why Mary was chosen. And dear Lord, how that you can choose us also, and how that you have a perfect will for our lives as clear as you had for Mary. And we'll thank you for what you do in our lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You know, sometimes parents have the opportunity to choose their children. And the process of adoption, the parents are saying to that child, we have chosen you because we want you to be our child. And that's a special thing. And I've heard that mentioned many times to those who are adopted, who, you know, they kind of feel like if they were, their parents had abandoned them and so forth, that maybe they were not worthy or maybe they were not loved. And yet, what a wonderful thing it is to have a couple come to them and say, we like you, we love you, we want to adopt you, we want you to be our child. We've chosen you. I think it's good to be chosen, don't you? As children, we grow up and we have traumatic experiences within our lives. Surely each one of us remembers the agony of waiting to be chosen for some special activity. It's a long presence there, and a long time, many minutes pass as we're waiting to know if we're going to be chosen for something or whether or not. And as the years go by, we have other moments in which we are chosen for various things or not chosen. When I was in the third grade, I had an interesting thing, and I remember it today. I mean, how many of you remember things that took place in the third grade? Well, this was such a traumatic thing in my life, I still remember it. Our music teacher brought us all to the auditorium, and she lined us all up in front, and she was playing on the other lady was playing on the piano, and she was walking up and down the aisles and hearing us sing. It was a Christmas program. And as she walked along, she listened to each child singing. And she would tell this child, you're eliminated, and go take your seat. And I was down on the end. And she, several of them got eliminated before it got to me. To be honest with you, I didn't know what eliminated meant. I said, what does it mean to be eliminated? You know, and I hope I didn't get eliminated because I knew what it meant. You know, in practice, those folks were not going to be in the choir. So when she came by, she listened to me sing. And she stopped a minute and paused. And she looked at me and she says, go take your seat. You're eliminated too. I remember that so clearly. And I was so disappointed. You know, you wanted to be a part with all the other children and be a part of that choir and so forth. It had been a special thing if I had been chosen. I probably wouldn't have remembered it. But because I was eliminated, I do remember it. Are you chosen? Are you chosen? The Bible tells us very clearly that in Christ Jesus, all are chosen. Now, it does not mean that all will be saved and all will go to heaven, but when Christ died on that old rugged cross, he was paying the penalty for all the sins of everyone's ever been born on this earth. And salvation was offered freely to them. We read this morning in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, that all men are responsible to God and that God has revealed unto them himself. And it says the wrath of God abideth on all men because though they had the knowledge of God, they refused to believe and put their faith in him. And yet we know that God is choosing, and he has established churches, and he's commissioned Christians to carry the gospel unto all the nations of earth, in our own neighborhood, in our own state, and around the world through our missions program. Why? Because God is seeking. He has chosen to save the world. And yet the question is, are people accepting the fact that Christ has chosen them? Have they believed and put their faith in Jesus Christ? And there's another aspect of this chosenness, if you want to use that word. Sometimes God calls people for very special tasks and chooses them for it. Some are chosen to be ministers and some evangelists and missionaries. Some are chosen to be Sunday school teachers and work in various places within this church. And he asks for those who are called to service to be faithful to them. And to be honest with you, whenever you're trying to work out a new schedule for the coming year or the positions of service within our church, we look for people who've been faithful to church. I was once in a church, and they would go down the list, and they'd say, well, so-and-so is not coming to church. Let's give them a job. Maybe they'll start coming to church. Not a very good idea, was it? And it never did work. So the better way is to find people who are faithful, and sometimes it's hard to fill all the positions. We got some blank positions that need to be filled within our service, and we're going to be doing that in January. We'll be putting out a new list, and I'll be going around asking people if they would like to serve in various places. And if you have a place of service and you're thinking about something, why don't you come to me and talk to me about it? I'd certainly like to know that. So this morning, I want us to consider the idea of being chosen and to realize each of us has been chosen. We're not only chosen in salvation, but we're chosen in service to the Lord. The choosing to salvation doesn't stop the process. God continues to want to be a part of our lives, and so we're chosen to be the children of God, the heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can examine our own lives, and we can see how we too can be chosen, or how we can be rejected for service to the Lord. Now we look at Mary. She was not chosen because she was sinless. And I know very plainly that there's one church that says Mary was sinless, had never had sinned. That's not true. Mary was born of man. And the Bible very plainly tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that included Mary and you and I and everybody else that's born on this earth. And though this doctrine is taught by some religious groups that says Mary was free from sin, they're actually betraying what the scriptures tell us. And they're doing nobody any good service by doing so. And they're actually clouding and putting a kind of a cloud over what Mary truly was and her faithfulness to the Lord. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Mary was special. And you say, well, she was one of the most special women that God ever used on earth. And we can say that with certainty, that she certainly was. But why was she chosen? She lived her life in faith, trusting in the Lord. And that made her an ideal choice to be the mother of the Messiah. Now, we must be careful that we don't elevate her beyond who she really was. But folks, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging and giving praise to her because of her faithfulness to the Lord. It's not a matter of her being the mother of God. It's, you know, is also a false teaching that is being taught by a particular church. She's not the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was before the world was, and before Mary ever was. She could not be the mother of God, but she was the mother chosen of God to be to bring forth him and his human faith. And this is something that's hard for many people to understand. But Jesus Christ was holy God, absolutely. And he was also holy man, absolutely. The Bible says he was tempted, even as you and I are tempted in every way. Yet he was without sin. Christ was not born with a sinful nature. That's why he was not conceived by man. When the angel came to Mary, he told her that which was to be conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit of God. And so it was a special, a miraculous and miracle conception. She had known no man, and the scriptures are plain in stating that. So what made her special? What are the characteristics? What do we really know about her? And it's, this means that we don't take away honor from her or from the Lord when we emphasize that she was special. And I, as you know I am, what I am and what I do in this church, I try to praise people. I'll mention often that somebody did something. And I don't think there's anything wrong with praising somebody and giving somebody honor who's done something for the Lord. And there's not anything wrong with that, because when you honor somebody who's done something for the Lord, you're honoring the Lord and the one who called them. But what made her special was her belief, her faith, and her faithfulness to God. And she was deeply devoted to God. She studied God's Word as a child, and she memorized Scripture. And she, even as in her account, she mentions Scripture and quotes it accurately. The New Testament records she used many scripture references frequently and with accuracy. She was a spiritually sensitive. When the angel appeared to her and gave her some unbelievable news, she accepted it. Now, if you think about the news that she received, the angel told her that she would have a child. The first thing she says, how can I have a child? I've never known a man. How could it be possible? And yet the angel assured her that which she would conceive would be conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And she accepted it. There's not a hint there that she did not think it was possible, that it could be a miracle from God. She never mentions that at all. There's no hint in Scripture of that. She accepted what God had done and what God had told her. And so she was spiritually sensitive to the leading of the Lord in her life. What about you and I? You know, today, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'll say it very plainly. I think many Christians today are so wrapped up in the world around us that we are not sensitive to God's leading in our lives as we should be. And often when God comes and asks us to do something special or something just ordinary or just ordinarily being faithful to the Lord, we struggle with it because we're not thinking in spiritual terms. She had high moral standards also. She was morally pure and had kept herself. And you know, this is not a small thing. And we think, well, back then, it was easier. No, it wasn't. People have the same emotions and everything they have today. Man has not changed. No women have changed. But yet she kept herself pure. Her belief affected the way she thought. And it affected what she did. She knew what was right. And she was committed in doing what was right. And oh, that we could find that today in the people around us. And especially within our church members. And folks who profess the name of Christ. To be committed to that which is right. It's amazing to me, so often we find that we'll mention something, and I never forget, there's a fellow, he's not a member of our church, and he didn't come here anymore, it's been a long time. And I mentioned to him some things that he was doing, and he was very proud of and everything, and he wanted us to take part in it, and I just said, I can't do that. And he said, well, why not? And I explained to him why we could not do that. Because it was not scriptural. And it would violate biblical principles. And that didn't seem to bother him a bit. Well, he just casually, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that if people around us who call themselves by the name of Christians were committed to the truth that this Bible teaches? And I'll be honest with you, there are churches all across this country today that are busting at the seams. And when you come into those churches, they got music going on and they got great extravagances going on in the pulpit. And they get up and give a little sermonette. And when the people go out, they hear all these bands. And by the way, you put on a band, especially rock music, and you'll bring people in. And so what they've done, they brought the world into their churches. And they're putting on bands and programs and all these things to attract people. But you know, here's a place here called Calvary Baptist Church. We preach the Word of God. We stand firm on the Scripture. We refuse to compromise God's Word to accomplish anything. We want to do what God's will is. And so we're committed to that. And that offends a lot of people. There are people I personally know right here in this town that used to come to this church years ago. And they were offended at the preaching of the Word of God. And made it very adamant that they were so. That they did not agree with this church's biblical stand on things. And so they left. And they're not a part of us. Well, we could have said, okay, that's fine. Anything you want to believe, that's fine. Just come on in. Let's just get together and have a good time in the name of the Lord. But we didn't do that, did we? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you uphold false doctrine and false teaching, you are misleading people. And you are doing error. And God is not in it. And what we do here, I want God to be in it, don't you? We want the Lord to be with us, to bless us. We want Him to be pleased with what we do here. And the only way we can do it is with His Word. In practical terms, I think this is what Paul meant in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. When he was talking about being morally pure, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. We don't want to be moderate today, do we? We're either on one side or the other. Be careful for nothing. That means be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things. If you're trusting in the Lord, whatever comes your way is within God's will. And understand that He's with you. And if it be good or bad, He's with you throughout it. And then He said, let your thanksgiving requests be made unto the Lord. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure, or whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And then he gives you the reason why. The peace of God shall be with you. I believe Mary had the peace of God in her heart. And I believe she didn't live an anxious life and tossed and turned by all the things that were going on around her. And we also know that she was humble. Humble. We don't many times understand what being humble means. That doesn't mean you're weak and wimpy. It just means you don't exalt yourself. When she was visited by Gabriel and she was told she was to have a child, she did not know how this could be possible. And when the angel explained it, that the child would be sent from God, she accepted it. You know, we read our Bibles many times, and by the way, this Bible is God's very word to us. When we read the Scriptures, it's as if Jesus Christ was standing right here and reading it to us. This is His word. And many times we look at it not in that way. We kind of feel like it's arbitrary. Years ago, I had a mission board president tell me about some things that were doctrinally unsound in his mission board, and he was trying to impose those things upon me. And I told him, I said, it's not scriptural. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I showed him plainly what God's word was. And he said, well, God has given us great liberty in those things. And I said, where do you find that in the Bible? Give me chapter and verse. And of course he couldn't. You know, we need to just believe God. Believe what he says. And accept what he says. He made it clear, that the child would be the long-awaited Messiah. Mary was very aware who the Messiah was. And I don't even believe she could possibly have comprehended the wonderfulness of that message to her and all that it encompasses. She was told that she would bear the man-child, the Messiah. She would be chosen and was chosen above all the Jewish women for the honor of being the mother of the Savior. How did Mary respond? Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Let me read that again. What was her response? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me unto thy word, according to thy word. That was no pride in her statement. Just a willingness to be used. You don't hear her bragging or seeking to be recognized for the task she was called to do. And by the way, if that was in her heart, she wouldn't have been chosen. She quietly went about her life raising the child that God gave her. She did not resent being asked, nor putting her in the uncomfortable situation of being a mother with no father. But God took care of that. You see, do you understand that? She accepted what God said, and God took care of the matter because Joseph married her. He could have put her away. He could have divorced her. He was already married to her, by the way, according to Eastern religion and, Eastern marriage customs and so forth and the Jewish customs. But he didn't put her away. He pondered these things in his heart. And when the angel came and told him, and we'll talk about Joseph tonight, you know what he said? I'm not going to put her away. And he married her because God told him it was the right thing to do. So beyond her first question, she never did question what God had done. Though the angel was telling her this, and that proves her faith was real. You know what? When we obey the Lord, many times maybe we don't really understand what's going on. Maybe it's going to cause us to have to sacrifice something. Maybe it's going to cause us to be uncomfortable or something. Maybe it's going to cause us extra work. Maybe it's going to make us ourselves put us in a vulnerable position. And yet, if God calls us to do it, we need to trust Him and realize that whatever He calls us to do, it'll be right. And He'll take care of the circumstances that come our way. She was a young woman. She was looking for marriage. And I'm sure her personal desires had to be placed on hold for a time. And although Joseph married her, she and her husband had never experienced a normal marriage until after Jesus was born. You say, and I say this, you understand what I'm talking about, especially the adults. She and Joseph were ordinary people, and yet they put their own personal desires behind and put the desire of serving God first. Just as Mary was chosen for her special mission, God's choosing people today. He chooses them for some, just sometimes what we would call ordinary service. You know, it's ordinary service to be the lady who cleans our church most of the time. And I know others help her and something, but Carolyn most of the time cleans our church. She'll look around, she says, Dusty, is this that? And she cleans and cleans. That's good. I brag on my wife, okay? And I have other ladies who come and help her too. But you know what? You think, well, that's no big deal. Anybody can clean. Yeah. But it's funny that most of the time we have a hard time getting people just to clean the church. We have a hard time getting the menial things done in our church that need to be done. But if we were some special thing, some special honor, oh, people would come forward. But you know what? It's the ordinary things that God uses and the ordinary faithfulness that God uses. He chooses all for salvation, and He chooses all to serve Him in some capacity. Some have proposed or supposed that maybe she was never anxious or troubled by what she heard. I believe she was troubled by it. And you can imagine how she felt, wondering, and you know the processes that are going on within her body as that child developed and so forth. She did have some anxiety about it. But the anxiety was overcome by her faithfulness to the Lord. She had the truth of what was going on. And you know what? When you have knowledge, you can bear a lot of things if you have the knowledge of what's going on. And you know what the end of it will be, isn't it? We can even be confident in the Lord and knowing that maybe I don't know what's going to come. But yet I know God's working in this and I know what He's called me to do. And so I'm being faithful now. God never uses people in His service for future service who are not faithful now. I've had men come to me and say, well, I think God's calling me to preach or to be a missionary or something like that. And yet when I know them, I know what their lives are and so forth, they're haphazardly serving the Lord. They're not really faithful as they should be to the Lord. You can't really count on them. And so what goes on? You have to realize God's not going to use people who are not faithful. And yet the men that do and women that do serve God and serve Him faithfully, He's always with them. He upholds them. He sees them through it. And let me just tell you this also. There's great reward in heaven for cleaning the bathrooms, for running the vacuum over the floors in here, for cleaning the chairs, for taking care of our business, our minutes, and these kind of things that has to be done in our church. Our church clerk has to do. For the men who take up the offering and those who count it in the back. Those who have worked out. I was sick and wasn't able to be here. And they went out. I didn't say a word to anybody about it. And they went out and put the nativity scene up and so forth. You know, these are faithful things. And only faithful people can do those kind of things. And that's the way it should be. Do you understand God's rewarding them for that? They're sending it on to heaven. You remember the series of messages I just recently had in Sunday school. And I said, you hear the saying, well, you can't carry it with you. You know, talking about people who die and with a lot of money. Oh, yes, you can. You can send it on ahead. You send it on ahead when you use your finances and you use the resources that God has given you to serve the Lord. And to help in the ministries of people who are serving the Lord. Oh yes, we can. And God rewards every deed. Even a cup of water given in the name of the Lord receives its reward. So we can send it on. And God honors that. And He's glorified in that. We can sometimes be challenged by public opinion. You know, they're always gossips. It's amazing to me, something will happen and boy, everybody joins in, you know, everybody's got an opinion and so forth. Most of them have no idea really what's going on, and they're voicing their opinion about things they don't know anything about. And in a small town atmosphere like Nazareth, boy, the rumors must have been flying, almost maybe like Tremont. We can also be challenged by what the Lord was asking her to do. It wasn't an easy task. She was being challenged. There were many difficulties. You ever wish for the good old days? I hear people say that all the time. Oh, boy, the good old days. I don't like this, you know, and things were so much better. I saw a recent Dennis the Menace comic strip, and it kind of made the point. Dennis was standing on a stool, and he was showing his friend the kitchen calendar. And he said, "See, yesterday and tomorrow are just a couple of todays." Now, did you get that?
Yeah.
You had to think about that a little bit. Mary was challenged when Jesus stayed behind at the Passover a little later in his life. He traveled with his family and to others to Jerusalem for the observance of the Passover. And at 12 years of age, he was a Jewish boy, and this is what was done. And so Mary was with the crowd, and sure, she was with a lot of people, and she went ahead, and he's a 12-year-old boy. She wasn't watching him every second, and so she realized he wasn't with them. So she returned to Jerusalem, and after 3 days, she found him in the temple. Can you imagine how anxious she was? And she found him in the temple and eagerly asking questions of the teachers there. And Mary said unto him, the Lord Jesus, she said, "Your father and I have been worried about you." And he said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?" Jesus knew as a child what his mission was and what he was to do. What it must have been like for Mary to be in one moment searching for a lost child, only to find he wasn't lost at all. But he was obeying his father and his father's will for his life. It was a great challenge, I'm sure, for her in her life. Mary found out then what we also have found out, that she was cherished by her Savior. Now, in the few minutes we have left, the most difficult time in her life, I believe, was not in the years surrounding her birth or childhood of Jesus, but in the 3 years of his public ministry. Those years were marked by the growing realization that he was doing miracles all over Israel. But he was also being opposed. And she realized this. She knew that he was hated by the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day, because Jesus' message was salvation and forgiveness of sin. He was preaching a message of love and loving your enemies. And he was preaching devotion and obedience to God's word. That was not what the religious leaders of Israel were teaching. The scribes and the Pharisees were teaching a works type of religion. You do this and look at me, I'm a great person. And they'd walk around bragging on themselves and how great they were. And they'd go by the treasury and they'd drop money in it and, you know, make a jingle of it and drop it in, wanting the praise of men. And by the way, that's what they got. They got the praise of men. They got no praise of the Lord. And so they hated Christ because he told them not to seek the praise of men. And he told them of salvation and of who they were as sinners. And they need repentance. And he talked to the Nicodemus, the Pharisee, and he said, and told him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the scribes and Pharisees, their gospel was, "Look at us. Do this, do this, do that, and do all these wonderful works, and God will look down favorably upon you." And by the way, all the time, they were making tons of money out of the temple. And that's why when Jesus went to the temple twice, he cast the money changers out, and he said, "You've made my house, the house of the Lord, a den of thieves." He was talking to the religious leaders then. Now, Mary understood those things. She knew about these. You can imagine how she felt concern for her son and how that she longed for things to go well with him, and they weren't. And then we see as Jesus' ministry progressed, when he came to Capernaum, was doing miracles and teaching the people there. He was having increasing problems with the religious establishment. And the Pharisees had made plans to kill him. Wouldn't you be anxious a little bit if you knew your son, who was doing nothing but good, was hated by the religious leaders, and they were seeking to kill him? Not just to shut him up, but to kill him, and that's how they were going to do it. Matthew chapter 12, the word reached Jesus that his mother and brothers were waiting to see him. By the way, there's a church who teaches that Mary never had any other children. She remained a virgin, a perpetual virgin. That's a lie. That's not true. The scriptures does not hold that up. He had brothers and he had sisters, and the Bible plainly states that. And so when they came to Capernaum, they sent word to him through the crowd that his mother and brothers were there. And pointing to his disciples, you have to think about this, what really went on. He pointed to his disciples and he said, "You are my brothers, my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, shall be my brother, my sister, and my mother." You see, one of the greatest truths the Bible tells us is we believe God. Jesus very plainly stated to those who were not obeying him and were living in the world and these kind of things, were rejecting him. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" And they would call him Lord, but they wouldn't do what he says. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say?" You and I face difficulties too in our lives. There are times that come, we don't really know what's going on. We feel sometimes kind of drifting around. We have to understand though, that because of Mary's faithfulness and because of our faithfulness, we can be used of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Let me just mention these and then we'll go. Do you understand that those that God used have a willingness to follow him? They have a desire to live above sin. As 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 said, God has not called us unto unrighteousness, but unto holiness. He never demands perfection from us, but he challenges us to live for him, to confess the sins within our lives that we may be used of God. He used a sinful man like David. He used doubting Thomas, the hot-headed Simon Peter. He used them in spite of their sin. But he used them because they were willing to confess their sins and to seek his will. Psalms chapter 51, verse 10 is David's own words. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." Does it seem unlikely maybe to you that God may be leading you towards some extraordinary thing to do for him? Perhaps he's leading you to some special service. Or perhaps you feel he's leading you to perform a special task, but maybe you don't think you're qualified for it. I'll be honest with you, I've heard the testimony of many pastors, and you're looking at one who was not qualified to be a pastor. My education, background, but God did call me. And though I struggled with it for a time, I began to realize it was God's will. And so I said, "Lord, do with me what you will." God began to open doors. And things began to fall in line. And I was able to go to Bible college. And by the way, my English teacher, Mrs. Phillips, God bless her soul, she's in heaven now, sweet, loving lady. When my mother told her that I was planning to go to college, you know what she said? She laughed. "Cooper is going to go to college?" Mother said, "That's his plans." Bless her heart. She was looking at me, not in what God would make me and what he would use me for. And I sit back and look at it now and I'm amazed. I really am. God has placed you maybe where you are and has given you responsibilities in your family, supporting your family's environment. And regardless of the difficulties and the situations that you encounter, we pray that God would give you the strength you need to endure whatever comes your way, whatever situation, that it might bring honor to Him. And when you honor Christ, Christ honors you. Luke chapter 3, verse 37 says, "With God, nothing is impossible." Like Mary, you and I are chosen. Chosen to be heirs of salvation. Chosen before the world even existed, the Bible tells us to believe and to put our faith and trust in Him. So like Mary, each of us needs to live by faith. We need to accept what God says and to accept it unconditionally, and in faith go forth based upon what we know the truth of the Word of God is. This invitation is for each of us, this pastor, and each of us in this church, because we are chosen for many, many things. God doesn't choose everyone in this room and everyone in our church to do the same thing. There are many tasks, many things that each of us can do. He knows our abilities. He knows our shortcomings. But He will call us to do what we can do. And let me add, through Him. Because God will never call you to do anything that He does not give you the power and the resources to perform. Let's bow our heads all over the room as we close the service this morning. And we sing a hymn of invitation. And we ask you, would you ponder in your heart, has God got some special thing for you? If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never truly believed in Him, that's the first step. Receive Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And then from that point forward, being saved, becoming a child of God, being indwelled by the Holy Spirit and led by God, we can accomplish all things that God would later on in our lives seek to accomplish through us. And He'll reward you for it. What a wonderful thing. I think about it all the time. I have a hard time imagining what it would be not to be a Christian and not to have the assurance in my heart that my sins are forgiven and that I have eternal life. When I die, I'll forever be with the Lord. We're going to sing hymn number 222, "There is a Fountain." Let's all stand as we sing.